and welcome to A Court of Three Strands, the Palatine Institute's podcast on creating Christian culture.
Through this show, we hope to provide a resource of education and encouragement for students, parents, and leaders about the revival of Christian values in our community.
On A Court of Three Strands, we'll focus on the three foundational strands that make a strong, flourishing Christian culture: the church, the family, and education. We desire to order these things around God's word to advance Christ's kingdom and so glorify him and bless our community. My name is Ron Young, former headmaster at Providence Academy and founder of the Palatine Institute.
And I'm Allison Tuttle, a wife and mother and the director of the Palatine Institute.
Through our conversations, we look forward to sharing fellowship knowledge and practical wisdom for his glory here on A Court of Three Strands podcast.
Without further ado, let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to A Court of Three Strands, the Palatine Institute's podcast on creating Christian culture. Today's episode is number 10 of season 8. This season, we have been discussing feasting, and today we have entitled our episode, Feasting for Dummies. No offense intended.
Yeah. I just want to clarify to everyone that was Allison's idea.
I consider myself a feasting dummy.
We're getting to the end of the season, and the thought is, you know, what does this mean? Like feasting, like it's for a lot of people, it's not part of our culture, except maybe, I mean, we can think of award banquets.
Yeah. Or like tailgating,
right? There's rituals involved. Yeah. There's particular
things you wear,
foods
you eat.
Yeah. Exactly.
Games you play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we just want to use this one as a kind of a practical one that's not prescriptive. It's just kind of
ideas. We're throwing out ideas.
Throwing out ideas and advice. And what I want to do is encourage you, if you've never thought about feasting or this idea of feasting, or that you should try.
Yeah.
Just to go for it.
Yep. And start small.
Mm-hmm. So here's just a very, very at minimum, right? Think of the practice you have generally on a regular day and you're having dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like how does that look, right? Is everyone together at the table?
Yes.
If they are not, when you're feasting, make sure everyone's at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Are you all at the table? Okay. How do you have a centerpiece? Is it decorated? Right. If that's not how you ordinarily do it for the feast, do
maybe
it.
You might. Yep.
Yeah. So the idea is you're marking out it as special.
Something different.
Mm-hmm. If you can do something on the table that is unique to that particular feast, that would be great. Like, so I have a daughter who loves to decorate, and she does.
She's great. Amazing.
She's really good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for Thanksgiving, she'll use colors that are traditionally associated with Thanksgiving, and some candles and some, I want to say flowers, but not really flowers. They're like living branch things that she has found, and she just makes into beautiful little decorations.
Botanical bits.
I know, right? It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and for Christmas, it's gonna have a different look to it and feel. Yep. And there's gonna be pine branches and, you know, white lights and candles and that type of thing. And anyway, so it marks it off as different, and it's a visible reminder of the uniqueness or specialness of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's just a help. We, the Youngs, are a little bit crazy in that we Wendy and I were married Thanksgiving weekend. And so one of the things that my in-laws did was they gave us Christmas dishes every year for our anniversary.
That's fun.
Yeah. So we collected all these different, these Christmas So we have, for Christmas, we have a whole new set of
dishes.
Yep. And it just marks off that time of year as great. And now I'm not saying that you should do that, but I'm saying if that's something that appeals to you, that's something that you could do.
You could do that.
You could do that.
Mm-hmm.
We also have another pair, set of dishes that we got for our wedding. Because we had these, our normal plates, I guess, and then our special.
Yep.
It wasn't really china, but it was something special.
Yeah.
And they sit up in a box up in the attic, like all the time. And every once in a while, it's like, we should break these out for Easter, right?
That's fun.
Flower arrangement, right?
Yeah.
So that's a way just to make it special. But right now, I think probably our audience is going, I can't do that. But don't worry. You don't have to. I'm just saying these are some things that you can do to mark off a season or a special day that's different.
Yeah. Even you might disagree with this, Ron.
Okay.
But I'm going to say it anyway. Even if you go to the store, like if you don't have a lot of storage or you don't have a lot of means to buy a set of plates, you could do decorative paper plates.
Oh, my goodness. That's actually a wonderful idea.
And then you don't have to store them. They're inexpensive, but they are fun and festive for the season.
Yeah. Especially if you're going to have more people than you normally have.
Or your kids. You know, you don't want them to break something really old and special.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah. And then there's that idea, like I remember as a kid, on Sundays and on special occasions, we would drink from a glass.
Mm-hmm. That made it special.
That made it special.
Yeah.
Right. So
my mom has these like fluted glasses from the thrift store that my kids get to use for special.
Yeah. Meals.
And they were like 25 cents, you know, for four, something like
that. And it's just little things
and
like
they love
that.
It. Yeah.
Little things like that that make it special. We have cloth napkins that we never use unless it's
special day.
A special day.
Yep.
Right. And that those kinds of things make it nice. Mm-hmm. Right. So whether it's whatever holiday, you know, whatever feast day, just those things set it apart. And it's wonderful. Here's a couple other things that we have done as a family to help. One is teaching our kids manners, like proper, right? Now, on every other day, we might not be as mannered.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But on those special days, we're going to do things like we're going to dress nice to dinner. We're going to dress nice or to whatever the meal is.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to come down in sweats and a t-shirt. You're going to wear decent pants and a button-up shirt, right, if you're a guy.
Yes.
The girls would wear dresses or skirts or something like that. And it
elevates it a little bit.
It elevates it. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then there's a... we were talking a little bit before. There's some things that are, I think, good in terms of like thinking about colors, right? So each of our seasons and holy days have particular colors. Like, so Advent is either purple or royal blue. Lent is always purple. Christmas is white. Easter is white. But you also associate like red and green with Christmas and you know, those types of things.
Yeah.
Pentecost is red. So things like on Pentecost Sunday, tradition would be that everyone wears some red, right? So if you have a red tie, the men would wear a red tie, or if a red shirt or a red dress or a red, you know.
Something.
Things socks. Like that. Socks or, you know, that there's red. It's like St. Patrick's Day. If you're not wearing red at Pentecost, you get pinched. No, I just, but just even adding that, the colors, right, to the table, to your clothing, it
Maybe even your menu.
Your menu.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a reminder of flowers. I think in one of my episodes I talked about, you know, you think of poinsettias for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I think I shared, we used to, when I was pastoring, we'd get red poinsettias and they'd be up during Advent as decoration. But then on Christmas Eve, they would magically be replaced by white poinsettias.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the, from then until Epiphany, you'd have the white up front and then the red would be back. So it was very beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, it was well done. And, but it was just having the white for Christmas. Easter, usually it's lilies, but also daffodils or other flowers. And it's always nice to have flowers. And then peonies are a Pentecost. Did you know that?
I did not. They're my favorite.
Are they? They're actually in Germany. The German word for peonies is translated into English Pentecost rose.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because I guess that's about the time of Pentecost is when they're in bloom.
Yeah.
And then that became a Pentecost rose.
That's cool.
So peonies. Yeah, there you go.
They smell so good.
They do. And they're really cool looking.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, so flowers, colors, the way you dress, gives all these kind of things make it special.
Set apart.
Yeah, set apart, mm-hmm. Right? So in I think, you know, it's going to sound really weird. Growing up, we always had a big Thanksgiving feast. It was hosted at our house.
Okay.
And so my aunts and uncles and, you know, everyone came to our house for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything was dressed. We dressed nice. Fairly nice. And it was really good. And then Christmas Eve was a big thing in terms of the worship service.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then Christmas morning, we'd open gifts and then we would go to my aunt and uncle's house for Christmas. And it was a super casual, and I loved it. We had sandwiches that was meat sandwiches, which I just loved. And, you know, you were dressed, you'd have like jeans and a t-shirt and you would eat and we'd play pool and bocce ball in their backyard.
It's fun.
And it was a lot of fun. It was more casual, but I would tell you that never seemed like holy. I never felt
set apart.
Set apart.
Yeah.
It felt like a fun day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's, I have great memories of it. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Right. But it wasn't quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if it has to have all the dress up, but it was probably too casual for it to feel.
Yeah. Transcendent.
Transcendent. Yes. Yeah. It would be more sentimental.
Yeah.
Than the proper nostalgia that we talked about last episode.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but our family, I think that was it. Easter was a formal time also. We'd mm-hmm. come home from church and have like a big ham and a big,
yep.
And we usually invited people from the church over on that day. And that was it. So those were the two big days were really for us was Thanksgiving and Easter.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to get off is that, you don't have to make a huge meal, right? What we're not advocating here is that we need to have like more holy days so that you all have to make Thanksgiving dinner 20 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Right?
Yeah.
The sandwiches were great, you know, but if we sat down to eat them instead of playing pool.
And maybe wore your button-ups instead of your sweats.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. It just little things like that. Plus, again, connecting it to the worship, to the liturgy. And I think we talked about that last episode, is that that's an important part of it. And to have a formal prayer, to have a good, even a benediction at the end of just the meal, the sit-down meal part. And then activities that can happen afterwards, like that it doesn't have to be just a meal, mm-hmm. although meals are
the main event.
Let's just be honest.
That's the reason we gather.
Yes, I'm trying to change our culture because I like to eat. I'm very good at it. Not changing the culture, but eating. I should get better at changing the culture. But there's other things that can be done. Singing, dancing, playing games, doing whatever. I like to tell people about the first Thanksgiving, right? The first Thanksgiving that the Pilgrims had with the Native Americans here was like a week-long festival. And it was a combination of eating food, prayer and eating food, and athletic competition.
That's a good combination.
It is.
It's perfect.
It's like watching the Packers play on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And eating, right?
Yeah.
These things, and this is, I know this might sound really weird in people's ears, but I just brought up sports. Like, isn't that idolatry? Isn't that a God? It could be. It doesn't have to be.
Right. It brings people together.
It brings people together, yeah. Right? And, you know, if the Packers are God's team and they win, I'm totally joking. I'm totally joking. I'm going to back up a little bit here. I'm not kidding about that. There's nothing wrong with watching a football game or a soccer game or a basketball game on TV with other people.
Right. Like we're not advocating for stodgy feasting.
Yeah.
Like sitting around having proper with no fun.
Yes. And there's an aspect of what we're watching in competition, athletic competition, is we're seeing amazingly athletic and talented human beings made in God's image doing incredibly athletic things with their bodies, mm-hmm. which can be a way in which that God is being glorified.
Yep.
Now, we can argue whether that is in fact happening or not, but part of it has to do with, well, what are you giving? What's in your own heart? Like, what are you thinking? What are you?
Yeah. Are you glorifying God by the beauty you see in the athleticism, or are you glorifying the athlete themselves?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just, or just upset with it all.
Right. Or any other.
Yeah. And if it's going to upset you, don't turn it on the TV. Don't watch it. Do something else, right?
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not saying you don't have to. I do have a problem with maybe putting the game on while everyone's eating, because then it's just a little.
It's a distraction.
It's a distraction. But But the general gist of it is, you're pointing in the feast proper of this eating and fellowship. It's being pointed to the event that you're celebrating.
Right.
And it's a longing, this gathering together of people around the table, around the feasting, is giving us a taste, a foretaste of what it'll be in glory.
Yep.
And so how we can do that with the way the table looks, with the food that we eat, with the conversation around the table, with the prayer beforehand, with maybe a blessing after, all those things can contribute to that.
Yep.
And then what's done after you're done eating, you know, can continue, even if it's watching a game.
Yep. Can I give a practical resource recommendation?
I would love a practical resource recommendation.
Okay. There are a series of books called Every Moment Holy. Have you heard of them, Ron?
I have.
I can't remember the name of the guy who's the primary author.
It's a group from Tennessee, isn't it?
Yeah, they're affiliated with the Rabbit Room.
Yes.
Which is a publishing organization. Yes. Anyway, at least the first one in particular, I'm not sure if the second ones would be as practical, but the first book in the series has all of these liturgies for different days, mm-hmm. And types of gatherings.
Yeah.
And so My family has found that book a helpful resource. Like if we aren't quite sure what would be appropriate to say, or it just, you know, we can print it off and have it for everybody to say together. They're really great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've often used like the Book of Holy or the Book of Common Prayer.
Uh-huh.
I've also used a lot of Lutheran resources that have prayers and readings for each of the virtually every day, but also for feast days and things.
Yep. Yeah. And then Sacred Seasons. I've mentioned that book before in a previous episode a while back, but that's another one that's got like recipes and also some liturgy and readings to do with your kids and stuff like that.
Yeah. At some point soon, and I probably said this already, but at some point soon, we'll have a little tab on our website, Palatine Institute's website, where you can buy the stuff.
Yeah, good resources.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That we'll have our own store.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
It would be.
Yeah. Coffee cups with our logo on it.
Then you can remember to
frame
Feasting for us.
For Dummies.
Feasting for Dummies. No. There you go. That should be a book. We should.
We'll write that
for you. Yeah. But all those things are great resources. The other part I just want to do is if you are curious, like you can Google, you know, feast days and look at, there's all sorts of different people whose lives have been impactful in this world for the gospel.
Mm.
You know, Patrick who brought the gospel to the Irish, you know, or Boniface to the savages in Germany, you know, my people, you know, or whoever, you know, theologians like, Anselm or Augustine or, you know, all these different people, more contemporary one. I think we mentioned Jim Elliot at one point.
Yeah.
But you can see like their days in which they're celebrated or remembered, commemorated. I like that. That's a good term. We're not worshiping them. Yeah. It's not necessarily a feast day in terms of like, we're talking about Jesus, but we're talking about commemorating like some of the apostles and missionaries and theologians and doctors of the church, holy men and women who have just made such an impact, who by reading their stories can give us great hope and encouragement in our lives. You can look those up and have little commemorative activities and meals and things where you're talking about
church history.
Yeah, and I've mentioned some of it before, like think of Boniface, right? When he chopped down Thor's oak tree, you know, that would be good. Think of like on his day, like just having a little feast and, you know, have some German food and then do some axe throwing in the backyard.
There you go.
You know, things like that. Like it's just little things that connect us with their story. And again, what they've done in Christ and for his glory. And again, a longing for God raising up more people, more saints in our midst to advance his gospel. Those things are great. And you don't need permission. You know, your church doesn't have to recognize it. It's just like we're Christians and we have this wealth of history and people who are ours.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, a friend of mine and I were talking about a debate or something that was happening, and the debate was good, except that it was a Catholic and a Protestant debating each other, and the Protestant it's like he acted like anyone before the Reformation was just Catholic. It's like, no, there are people.
Yeah.
There are people too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, the Catholics can't claim Augustine.
Right.
They can claim him, but so can we.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Boniface, they can claim him, but so can we.
Mm-hmm.
We can all claim them. They're all Christ's people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So don't. You know, and now would it be great to remember the reformers? Yeah, absolutely. Those would be great times to have little days too, or to have instead of Halloween, celebrate Reformation Day.
Yeah.
Those types of things would be great. They're great. All of it's great. And just look at ways to do it. I mentioned traditionally, like John the Baptist, the Nativity of John the Baptist, which is, I think I said June 21st at one point. It's June 25th. It's 6 months before. June. That was an error. So this is my official retraction. but that idea of having a bonfire on June 25th to commemorate the birth of John the Baptist, what a great excuse to have people over and have a bonfire in the backyard. Yep. And to talk about John the Baptist and what he did and what his life meant. And then how he pointed to Christ and how we could be like John the Baptist pointing to Jesus.
Yep.
And just have a great time in the with a bonfire. Like, how cool. And then I'm here in this Green Bay, Wisconsin, right? Like,
it's a good time of year to have a bonfire. It'd
be a great time of year. And then to long again for the coming of Christ, who came once and he's going to come again. Mm-hmm. So, anywho, that's just some of our advice. Feasting for dummies, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And the more, I think, the more we embrace this, all right? And this is a future season. We're going to talk about the body, right? Because we live in a day and age in which our beliefs are supposed to be just something in our head.
Right.
Not in the public square. For some reason, people get very angry because in their neutral non-belief world.
Which is pretend. Yes.
We're the ones with beliefs and that's somehow oppressive. No, everything has a belief. Everything has faith, right? The neo-Marxist radicals believe in things and they act out those beliefs in the public square and somehow it's acceptable. It's just right now at the year of our Lord, 2024, evidently it's supposedly not acceptable. And if you have any little tiny insistence that you may want to express your faith openly or that maybe other people should listen to
what you have to say.
Well, we have to say we're Christian nationalists and a threat to our democracy. Stupid. It's just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that, the more the church gets out of their heads and understands that that Christ is the Lord of all, he is the King of Kings, Lord of the Lords. He rules here and now. And what we believe about him in our heads and our hearts requires us to live out in the public square. And the more we celebrate this virtuous calendar that we talk about, the feasts, and that it's public. I mean, symbols matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, symbols matter. If all of a sudden, you know, a fifth of the population in Green Bay, Wisconsin is wearing red on Pentecost Sunday, people are going to take notice.
Yep.
And I said 5%, right? So this was, I forgot who, some sociologist or might have been Stalin himself or something like that. In order to make an influence in a culture, you just need 5%. 5%, right? And right now, I mean, I think it's still close to 50% of all Americans believe or say that they're Christian.
Yeah.
And what if a good portion of them, we started taking things like this seriously, and began celebrating these feasts. All it takes is 5% to start moving a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very doable.
Yep.
And okay, can I just say that aloud? 5%, and that's doable, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. When already half of our population has some sort of connection to Christianity enough so that they believe or say that they believe.
Yeah.
All right, we can't get a half of them to start living physically living out these things in a way that can shape our culture. It is very doable.
Yeah.
and symbols matter. Anyway.
I mean, in Green Bay,
yeah,
we all know symbols matter because yes. we know what the big G means.
Yes, we
know. And we know what green and gold mean.
Yes.
And so yes. the church can have our symbols represented as
and
well.
And this is why the rainbow flag is shoved down our throats.
Right, because symbols matter.
Because symbols matter.
Yes.
And the bridges in Green Bay are colored during quote-unquote Pride Month. Because symbols matter. What if we, we don't need any permission at all, can just put out our flag?
In June. I think we should. I actually bought one to do for this next June.
What did you have? What do you have?
Just the Christian flag.
The Christian flag for this June. Yeah.
And also because it's a celebration of the overturning of Roe v. Wade in that month.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. You're a radical,
Allison.
We're going
to celebrate that instead of...
Let's do it.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's make it a movement.
Okay.
I like it. It sounds, you know... So here I am with my radical host, Allison. It's very cool. All right. And then I think we just... I might as well make the announcement. We're at the end of our time here to get today. Allison, you're getting very busy.
I am.
You're starting a school.
I am.
And, you want to tell us about it real quick?
Yeah, I'm starting a Highlands Latin Cottage School that has two tracks, one for traditional students and one for special needs kids.
Yes. A non-neurotypical.
Yes.
And that's awesome. A very big need in our area and probably throughout our country, which means Allison is not as available.
I know. I'm sad.
I know.
This has been so fun.
It is. Now, which means, on the same token, Noah Tetzner, our other host.
Co-host. Really experienced co-host, actually.
Who had gotten super busy with some running for office and some other political things and yada, 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 has a bit more of a normal schedule.
Yeah, the Lord has providentially made his schedule little more open.
Yes. So next season, Noah will be my co-host.
Yes. And he's going to do a marvelous job.
He will do a marvelous job. But we've made assurances, or I've made Allison a promise in blood that she'll come back.
I'll come be a guest.
She'll be a guest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
be my joy.
Thank you, Allison.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening.